The best tea in the city.
Well, I eat some Afropolitans. I'm Dumisani Mahlangu, founder of Chepa Streetwear.
I'm Wandi Lazondo, founder of Thesis Lifestyle.
And I'm sipping on the best tea in the city.
KFM 95.9.
It is KFM 95.9. I'm hanging out with, I think, two of the most bravest boys I have ever met, especially in the uncertain world of business. And they are here today. That is Dumi and Wandile. Wandile, they call him Ngamla. I'm not going to be able to do Ngamla. I'm not going to be able to do Ngamla.
I'm not going to be able to do it.
Which
years are these?
Oh man, that was still in the 90s, you know. And then Hekehola, I took care of the business, driving the biking, pakama creating, stokutwa, lang deliver.
Sure.
Looking for spots where we can sell.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, put a voice roll, the tiki, skipper,
yeah.
Backpack, bushiu, door to door, knocking, selling.
And how old are you at this time?
At this time, I'm 17, 18. And then at the age of my 20, that's when I went full time into the bottle store.
Yeah.
And then I had like a spazanyana also.
Yeah.
So me and Leana, there was, you know, a couple of clashes sometimes. So I was like, I endo tagmili spande.
Sure. Yeah. By the way, you can watch this on Kaya TV. And if you're not and you're just driving or you're in the office and you're just listening, I'm going to refrain from using their names so as you can make sure, so that you're clear who I'm talking to. So now, this is Ngamla. The out here. Thesis was the kind of guy who will come to your house and says, give me your old cliere. Give me your old clothes because I want to sell them. So where did you go for that?
Go town before Variki thrifting. Never second hand. No, why? Variki thrifting.
Variki Strataforts.
Yeah. But all those places in town, like around the Bree area, North area, we used to just dig because we had cash flow.
Okay.
So... yeah, I mean, to Monday to probably Thursday, we're not working. So we just hang around Kokandi Square. And then just buy clothes. And one of my former business co-founder, Mangaliso, was a fashion designer. So he was the one. And then Hotman Aya Vaya, Caroline, I think, for AO2. So Rasala Lindru. So it was nice to experiment and do a lot of stuff.
Sure.
So, but from then, in the back of my mind, it was always fun for me, but I think from why I was even there, because after school, I time I knew computer studies.
Okay.
That's why. And then I was like, "Kilo plama koning or something or something." And then uncle like, "Tell us span go headcars." I feel like headcars.
Yeah.
I was like, "Kilo span a year every."
I'm a pushy. 7 years.
Yeah, but I was like. I was like, guys, you have to make this like a business. Because I was like, they probably the creative guys, but I'm going to be the numbers guy.
Sleep
and all of that. And then, fast forward, I was like, okay, we need to start our own business. And I was like, the hood, because it was all that thing now, township economy.
Oh, yes.
Our store was opened in 2007, same year as Maponya Mall. So, newspaper insert.
And this was June 16, youth day.
Yeah.
Right?
So, for us, was also just twisting the mindset to say, youth are no, because we're never with a lost generation.
Yes.
So, it was like, and because also the realization of township economy. So, and also I just had long-term thinking, it's just not going to work out now. Even my cousin, who's like my mentor, Olankanyu, was like, just there, stay there and play your game. And the thing is like, I just didn't want to quit because it was like, hey, if I quit, I could buy.
Yes.
So it had to work.
So basically what you're saying for you is it was between going sitting in the classroom studying something.
No, I had no money for that.
Yeah. Or hanging out in the corner. And those two things were like the two, it was a hard place and a rock. And you had to find your way out.
Yeah.
And your way out was, let me be entrepreneurial about
yes.
it. And how long did you go with the whole selling of buying old clothes and selling them? I mean, how long did that last you?
That, like, from 2001 probably to 2005, because we registered the company in 2005.
Okay.
So, but then that's even the, how the name came about, because that 2001 to 2005, yes. we were just going around doing that. And then Mangi Nali Poet, so Replomeli Machit, Nali Picharo Natep, he's just bugging us. Machit, I just want to submit my thesis. And then even the term is new to us.
Yeah,
and it's King thesis. It's like, it's like, no, it's a report you do, research, illustrate a new point of view. And Mangi was like, damn. Actually, what we've been doing all these years, because we're looking for a name for our business, we've been doing a research, a thesis about street culture, streetwear. So we're trying to really illustrate a new point of view of where street culture is going.
Sure.
And that was it.
But now, how did you, when thesis started as a brand, as a business, were you clear about going for the street culture, for the streetwear?
No, honestly. In the beginning, we even used to do fashion shows. Even the music influence came from there, because we used to have to select tracks for fashion shows. And then we realized that fashion shows for us didn't work, because how the South African fashion industry structured, fashion shows would blow about to be cool, or blow me to buy.
Like,
yeah, and you spend a lot of money.
Do me, you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, for us, like, we only realized that after... some time is like, yo, because you stress to make sure that you've got lot looks and all of that. But yeah, fortunately, I came across Bo and Dilibo Chavi as mentors.
Oh.
They were like, stick to your model, know what you're doing and all of that.
It's also expensive.
It's also, and now, Chepa, were you clear about which line of fashion you're going for?
Yeah, we didn't want to go the formal, you know, tailored route. We wanted something that you can wear on a daily. So, yeah, that's
and but when you say we, this is you and your wife, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you are doing now bomber jackets with African fabric.
Yeah, that's what we do.
But for you to get to that point, there should have been a lot of process of elimination of, you know, wrong turns along the way, right?
Big time. Yeah, so we were clear in terms of what product we want to push, but positioning it was and is still a journey, because I don't think even now we've scratched the surface of where we want to be.
Mm.
So we, you know, as we go along the way, we're still learning new mediums, new ways of presenting the product. So yeah, that's where we are.
I like what you said. You said people don't want to, they never want to start anything because they're afraid. They're afraid they will fail. They're scared to fail.
Mm.
But you too were scared, right?
I was, yeah, no. I mean, going into business is, it's a scary thing, because I got two kids, got a wife. I mean, if something happens, and this doesn't succeed, how are they going to eat? You know, so failure is a reality. I think one of the biggest things that South Africans we are facing right now is to going into business is we're scared that what if it doesn't work out and then we go look for jobs. Whereas,
where does that thing come from, though? Is it because, and Ngamla, this is where you can chip in. I find that we don't allow, to this very day, I'm a parent now.
Yeah.
I find that I'm raising my kids with fear.
Yeah.
You must have something to fall back on.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
You are talented.
Yes.
You are here. Why do we still use the same narrative? And then, Ngamla, you are a living example of, I don't have anything to fall back on. It's do or die.
Put your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
All your eggs.
Exactly.
One basket and just take it all in. And I just see probably that's the reason why people, even now, I find myself in situations whereby I can do something and probably get cash And people like, why am I saying tune? I'm like, hey, gents, na, here focus yak. Focus yak, I'm good at selling sporty t-shirts.
Yeah.
The only difference, how do I do it? And that's the thesis story.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
There's things you, like, you gotta say no. You have to say no to things that will derail the mission, you know.
And even though they look lucrative.
Yeah, even though they look lucrative, you know, if someone comes with you, say, hey, here's a proposal, you're like, hey, I'll tell them, you know what, I see you, but this is where I am right now. Because if I don't focus on this, I might not have, you know, money to survive or to grow this baby, this business.
I want to go to a break, but I have to pass this point first. I was watching a Will Smith. Since he's been on Instagram, he's been just a marvel, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
I think it's just a breath of fresh air. He tells the story of how he said no to Neo.
Mm.
I mean, Neo is such a big character, the Matrix. Yes.
Mm.
For, and then he said yes to Wild Wild West, the biggest failure of his career. Yeah. What have you said no to that kind of haunts you now?
I think that's one thing also, regrets, you can't. Probably there's lessons that he took from that, but I think his conscience at that time said that. And that's how it is also sometimes. You follow your conscience, you make the right decisions.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're wrong, but I just think that if you go to sleep and you know you did the right thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's...
Nothing comes to mind where that you said no to that kind of said, yeah, maybe there I missed an opportunity.
Maybe they not, but also those things, because, I mean, sometimes... I've seen it whereby you have to. I'm from the hood, you know, we glorify certain people because
of this.
And then people get put on because you are that second guy.
Uh-huh.
But now I am here to build what's mine. I'm not here to be a witness, you know. Now I would say, I go next door from Koshopong, you know, that guy, like, a contact, and I always said, I'm not here to be a witness.
I like that.
I think from that, it's those kind of things, you know. So it's like you have to build your own character and be strong and really believe in yourself. I think self-belief, more than anything, self-belief is the most important thing, because there's a lot of noise that, like, especially at one point, I'm fine. Our guy is CV out
because
something was just fine.
Hope flies.
No, and it used to be so bad, man. Like, I used to feel so bad because it was like, yo, which means homies really don't see this working, you know? Mm. And I know it's not gonna work out now, because at that time, like, we are in the early 20s, my friends are call centers, some of them buying cars and all of that. I'm still that guy who.
I'm
that guy, but I was like, yo, I'm just gonna be true to myself, and maybe.
And here it is, it pays off.
It's just like,
yeah,
that's it.
I like the babu drum. Any regrets from Chapa, or something that said may not even be a regret, but it kind of said, eish, yeah, Mara, maybe that.
Maybe not yet. We've been in business for what? We're getting on to 2 years soon.
Okay.
So we're still growing. We haven't had many regrets as yet.
Yeah.
So we're still learning along the way in terms of pushing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back.
Well, I am Afropolitans. I'm Dumisani Mahlangu, founder of Chepa Streetwear.
I'm Wandile Zondo, founder of This Is Lifestyle.
And I'm sipping on the best tea in the city.
Kaya FM 95.9.
Yeah, it is Kaya FM 95.9. We're talking streetwear. Why is streetwear not office wear?
No, it depends. Streetwear, it is office wear.
It is.
If you want to lay low at the office, be that guy super chill and easy. T-shirt, denim, I think in streetwear.
Yeah.
Shabili the off-white. What was the balloon? Balloon was over.
Yeah, and Shabili Tombia Chepa. I can't t-shirt that thesis me out. You are the only one.
Oh,
sorry.
There's means and ways.
Yeah, yeah.
There's means and ways you can style Kospani.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you were let's say teki, chino, a nice shirt, you know,
yeah,
denim jacket, or you wear chepa jacket, nice formal shoe, because there's ways you can be able to kind of, you know, style.
Bring color in the office.
Yeah. I'm tired of being bland, gray, black, you know, bring something fresh.
Would it ever be mainstream though, do you think? Look, because so far, it looks like it's for the brave.
Nah, it will.
It looks like it's for the revolutionaries, you know?
Exactly. So there's a research that I was looking at the other day, where searches for streetwear have increased. It's now a $20 billion industry. So we're playing in a market where there's so much opportunity.
Wow.
And some streetwear brands have grown through collaborations.
Yeah.
You see the likes of the guys who did Off-White.
Yeah, Virgil Abloh. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of ways that one can, how can I say, can promote culture in the office. You know, influence mindset, because that's what streetwear is. Mm. Streetwear basically, it was. Started through skatewear culture.
Yes.
But then it moved to hip hop.
Yeah.
Then
it
moved to kind of, you
that's
know,
that's where
graffiti,
Supreme and all
Supreme,
of them come through. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And then there's graphic tees, you know, but I think it's not done. It's not done. There's so many ways it can be adapted.
Maybe Ngamla, we need to change the term streetwear, no?
No.
Make
no.
it everyday wear, something like that, no?
Nah, it's cool to keep it a streetwear. Like also when you say what now is, say, Supreme and Louis Vuitton. Mm-hmm. So what I find that streetwear is just luxury brands are trying to be street.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you see Pharrell with Chanel.
Yes.
With the Karl Lagerfeld, because it's that. It's how do we probably take high-end fashion
and bring it closer to
the people.
Yes.
Yeah, basically, streetwear is really influenced by what you see around.
Mm.
You could, some people, I mean, those guys who build buildings, they would wear workwear, you know, overalls. Mm. Someone would tear it and put it in their own fashionable way.
Mm.
So it's just referencing that. But I think with luxury, that's what makes it easy to be in the office. Because especially Off-White, it's that luxury side of streetwear.
Yes,
because those are Chuck Taylors, but they're not just, you know, the price point. Mm. So it just makes it easy also to be adopted into the office.
Sporty, will it ever make it to the boardroom?
Sporty.
Pelokwana Mr. Sporty and T-shirt.
Yeah, Sporty, one of my mentors said to me, you'll never sign a business without wearing this. So Sporty is what identified us. So maybe the tilts up by the crayle
drunk. Because of Sporty.
Yeah. And also how with actually what we've done as well with streetwear. If you know Sporty, Khali, and it was always associated with it. But here we're a streetwear brand, we've made it cool. People now want to wear it to make it cool. So also streetwear works as like social commentary.
That's why
probably you have statement tees, because they will reference something political at that time. So also streetwear, it just works with that. So if you want to probably in the office, you have a statement. It's easy to not say it, but just wear a T and everyone will have a conversation behind you. And
that's where brands are going. You know, look at this. The certain brands that are now saying something and subliminally, in a way. You know, look at what Nike is doing. You know, there's a lot of social commentary in their adverts.
Sure.
They're supporting
Custer,
the Williams sisters and so forth. So brands are actually coming out and being supportive of initiatives, you know, setting the status quo and social commentary.
Mm.
And that's where you find content and value, and that's where streetwear comes in, because it's every day.
One of your biggest criticisms from South Africans in general is that you guys make amazing clothes that are compelling and so on, but the issue of access, you guys are not just readily available. I mean, how do people who are streaming now from KZN, anywhere in the world, get to buy Chepa, get to buy Theses? And I find it's a constant argument especially every time I post wearing something proudly South African. And they were like, but where? Where do we buy it? We want to buy. Where? And sometimes I even go and say, okay, maybe I have the privilege of access.
Mm.
How do I then put this thing to a test? And I did. And I called you about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Me and two of my friends, we go to Vilakazi Street to have lunch. And obviously, we're sitting across the box.
Yeah.
Boom. I was like, hey, we must go in there.
Yeah.
We get in there. There's only one jacket at Chapa. One.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the access that people are talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what are the, clearly there are challenges. So what's going on in that space? Maybe just, you know, educators.
Okay, for us, we're busy with it. That, basically for me, I see online solving the problem of that accessibility. That's, and our biggest problem with our online was just career. Just how do you make it like?
Because
also with our brand, the pricing is so like
low.
Yeah. So like we sell our bucket head for 150 and our t-shirts for 200. So it didn't make sense for us for a consumer to be paying 150 or 180 to carry a bucket head for 150. You know?
Yeah, and you find.
So we're just trying to get a good career company. But we are busy with it. Probably will launch in 3 or 4 weeks time online store.
Oh, okay.
But it has been a problem. It's like a huge problem.
Yeah.
So that's online. But also in South Africa, it's with small brands like us, it's the units game sometimes and cash flow game.
Yeah.
You know, because so sometimes it's just a matter of you need to bet on like that jacket if you want to say betting on 50. And then you have to spread them around. Before they even sell, you have to be doing something, but you haven't sold those to be able to circulate your money into that. So there is a lot of that. And then factories in South Africa, in terms of the units that we can, you know, put in so that they listen to us, they put us on the line. Mm. There's a lot of those factors. And also, I mean, yeah, there's still gatekeepers that run the mainstream. But I just feel like the most important thing is that we have long-term thinking. We build our own. We build our own stores. We build our own distribution channels in terms of warehousing. We build our own. So it's a whole
game.
You need to really understand that as probably as a brand, why we only sell at our store is because it's like a musician. We want to own everything. And that takes longer.
Mm-hmm.
Might take longer. Any musician who owns their rights, they take longer. But probably the freedom that we'll have in the future is far greater than selling ourselves, you know?
True.
So even this fashion game, I think it's just like that. You really choose. Some people prefer to go in the East to go for a manufacturing
side, and they
push big units and all of that, and they get into distribution channels. So it's a models game also in choosing what works best for you. But I
in
just don't
case,
like,
probably.
I don't like dwelling on problems, man. I think there's so much opportunities for growth. Mm. We just have to make sure that we push harder. And if I were to dwell into my problems, I think I would be out of business for the first year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I don't like dwelling on the problem. There's so many problems every day. Load shedding is a problem. You know,
so we
can't be dwelling on that, you know, but probably more on the opportunities that we've got. Because, like what you just said, the industry and the value. And for now, like, South Africa has 54 million people, guys. So much to be
all true. You want is that 10% of that 54 million. That's all.
You know what I always say, that this is 10% first now, which is like the straight focus is Soweto. In Soweto, there's 5 million people. 10% is 500,000.
Yeah.
If one person spends at least 100 bucks, go, this is that 50 bucks. That's a good turnover for a year. So that's like the goal for now that we are working towards. If you were to say, why don't you open stores outside of Soweto? We did it in Kagiso, we failed to close the store, but we're moving the store somewhere into Soweto.
And then
you see that they've learned from, like what he said, they failed, but they've learned from their failures and they're moving on.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing as I think business as usual. You know, you got to learn from, if you try something and you fail, doesn't mean you must just stop. You keep on moving and find a solution to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
For us, I mean, we have an online store already. So we've been pushing, that's where 54 to 60% of our business comes from.
Okay.
When we started the brand, we saw that, you know what, we don't have the cash flow to start up a store. We don't have the legs and means to start, you know, door to door. So what's the best thing? Best thing is get back from work every day. Start teaching ourselves to build stores and technology. It took a good 3 months to learn, you know, coding and all of that. And then we just did it. Distribution wise, look, I think the most important thing is cash flow.
Yeah.
To be able to have enough cash flow to reinvest it in production, because while you're selling, you still constantly need to be in production. And I think what's happening now is South African investors aren't necessarily seeing the opportunity that is in local brands and the appeal local brands have, and how South Africans are now inclined or much more, you know, serious to say, you know what, I'm buying local, I'm supporting local, because what that does at the end of the day, it rejuvenates the economy. You know, it empowers brands like us to still produce more. It creates jobs. I mean, we've got the unemployment rate that is so high, and we can actually be a solution for that. So in terms of distribution, for us, it's having that cash flow to actually reinvest and be able to produce 2,000, 5,000 units and have them in the box shop in Soweto, you know, in other stores. Online for us, it works pretty well. We've had some good experiences with it.
Yeah. I like that. I'm hanging out with Dumi and One Dealer. These are the founders of Chepa and Thesis. We're talking streetwear in the office. We'll be right back. What I love about today's top 10 is that we've got the best of both worlds, Soweto and Mamelodi in one. And these are the kings of streetwear, Ke Chepa and Ke Thesis. Now, you say your dream is to see Chepa, that is. Your dream is to see Heritage Day being every day.
Yeah.
Seeing kids wearing African traditional colors every day.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that?
Yo, number one, wider distribution, access to market, projecting an affirmative image of how beautiful, how brilliant Africa is, and how you can be able to represent who you are without being boring, without being formal.
Or without waiting for a date.
Without waiting for a date, you know, because the fact of the matter is, we glorify Western culture, we glorify what comes from the West. Not a lot of people know that Africa has just signed a trade deal to open up trade within Africa. It will be so much more easier, you know,
to trade within the continent.
And right now, that's such a huge advantage, because if borders and means of trade are open, it basically means we can empower one another. Number one, number two, we can be able to buy cheaper. You know, Nigeria, for example, they make beautiful shoes. You know, beautiful leather craft. You know, beautiful fabric. Mozambique also has great fabric. You know, there's many countries that make beautiful stuff. It's just that we're not exposed to it.
Yeah, we're always looking outside.
Absolutely. What we are exposed to is the West. We're not exposed to the beauty that is within Mzansi, within Africa.
Oh, yeah.
And we find now, I mean, there's brands that are actually like Dior. They've just partnered with an African textile designer, and they're making a wax print. And wax print originally is from Africa, taken to Dutch, in Dutchland, and then now it's being imported again into Africa. So these are the things that kind of, they affect me. They disturb me a lot, you know. Finding our resources being exported then imported back, as if it's something
new. No beneficiation. Oh yeah. Now, Ngamla, your passion is cycling.
No. Hey, to being active. No, being active, guys. Even running, I've got two comrades. So
what?
Yeah, na in the
quarter.
Kinali Silva. Oh, you over the size state. Yeah, so being active.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Unfortunately, I also use my bike as a means of transport because I have kind of designed an ecosystem. I live 2 km away from the shop.
Okay.
So I can't burn the gas every time.
Oh, yeah. But you're saying this is one of the things, your project that you want to sort of champion and make sure that it stays there, where the cycling, fashion, all of that is intertwined.
People must just be active. I think as a brand also, you know, we try and use the brand to be a touch point for us, the things that we like. As partners like me and G, it's like we try, we just feel like sometimes people must tap into those things because we feel like they are nice and they make you feel good. So that's why we even had the Thesis Run crew. People was just, the whole point was just to get people moving, you know, and people are running, you know, because we have, like, you've seen it, like when you get to 40, your body kind of behaves in a funny way. Then if you are not active, that's why I'm a leader on analytic high blood, and those are just some things that you can deal with, you know.
By just being active.
Yeah, and also I just think like I'm a health freak, I don't eat meat, so my diet is just hectic, you know.
I understand there's a restaurant next to your shop.
Yes.
Oh, what are you serving there?
The answer, we'll try our tea. We have a lot, but everything, what I like about the open kitchen is like everything comes with vegetables. So you'd have your meat, but it comes with vegetables.
Yeah.
You'd have your wraps, you'd have your...
Yeah.
So I like a person...
So it's a full experience.
Yeah, because that was the whole point when we got those guys, the guys who are running the kitchen, is that we don't want someone... Because we held on to that lease for some years and research uni next. Sure. And we're like, we want people that are just going to fit the brand because it was like, So also as a brand, it's just to change the mindset and get people like to really appreciate the little things because people don't appreciate to be active. And I tell you, it catches up when you're old. So it's very important as a brand that we also advocate for that. You know, we not just... selling clothes, and that's how even we did it with music, you know. Probably my top 10 is inspired by that. The jam session, the days when we used to give music, artists a platform, you know. So even my music journey, I had people that were teaching me through that, you know, and that's my top 10 is like those guys who taught me with music. So and it was lounge, you know, because when you opened the store, we had to have music, was going to be soundtrack. And my cousin Gule was like, okay, you gave us music. And then there were guys that were hanging out at the store, DJs, but they used to play lounge, good influence. I was like, we were like, actually, let's start a jam session where we play lounge because house is always upbeat and arukonulubu, you know? So, and so we started a movement like that where we can listen to nice music and people started sharing music and then the jam session kind of blew and it was just a platform for bands, for musicians, for comedians, and it's just like a melting pot, you know? So that's how even the brand is used, you know, to call it edutainment.
Guys, I wish you nothing but the best. I would like to see a day where that's all we were.
Yeah, definitely.
It is the first thing that you think of before you think of an international brand. Because the quality, I mean, I've experienced Chepa, the quality is just simply amazing. And I've seen Thesis. There's a colleague of mine here, he's forever in Thesis. And he promised me to bring me a t-shirt or two. So I ended up, now I've got the hookup. I've got Wendy direct. There's no question about the quality. You have now dealt with the issues of accessibility. Now we can access the brands. We can find Thesis at Thesis Lifestyle, right?
Thesis underscore lifestyle all across all social media platforms.
All platforms. And Chepa?
At Chepa underscore streetwear on Instagram, at Chepa streetwear on Facebook and Twitter, as well as our online store.
Okay.
www.chepa.co.za. We also retail from the box shop in Midrand. We will be at the box shop in Soweto because you couldn't find it, but we will stock up there. We are also opening other distribution channels. I can't say much about them at the moment, but we will be announcing on our page.
This is where exactly in Soweto?
173 Mashaba Drive, Mfulo Central. Deep Soweto.
Deep
Soweto.
Guys, all the best.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having us.
Keep shining.
Thanks, man.
Wala ita ma Afropolitans. Dumisani Mahlangu, founder of Chepa Streetwear.
I'm Wandile Zondo, founder of Thesis Lifestyle.
And I'm sipping on the best tea in the city.
KFM 95.9.
The best tea in the city. Weekdays, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Kaya FM 95.9.